You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Doc Rivers almost hurting himself backpedaling on Ben Simmons, but don't think much about it, my friends. This is about trade value. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on SiriusXM Channel 80 and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. Breaking news today is that Chicago Bears rookie quarterback Justin Fields will make his first career start Sunday. Andy Dalton out with a left knee injury. Matt Nagy says Dalton, when healthy, is still the starter. More on this perspective on Fields in 8 minutes. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us. But we begin with the story of the day, the Ben Simmons saga, which continues. Doc Rivers appearing this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, in addition to First Take, doing everything he can to unring the bell from this past offseason. Simmons, of course, in case you missed it yesterday, says he will not play for the Sixers ever again. Now, let's refresh your memory just for a moment. Go back, Game 7, as the Sixers lost to the Hawks in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Doc Rivers, after Ben Simmons, did not want to dunk a basketball for fear of getting fouled late in the game and gave it up instead. Well, he was asked right after the game what that means for the long term for Ben Simmons. Can they get it done with him? Here's the exchange. Remember, that's the backdrop. And you would think that at the time, that might have played a big role in Simmons' unhappiness this offseason. Doc today said that he wasn't saying that he didn't know if Simmons could ever do that, ever be a championship point guard for them. What he was saying is, I don't know about answering any questions like that. Right now, it's not the time for that kind of question. It didn't really bail him out on it. But what was important in what Doc was saying today was the idea that he still values Ben Simmons in every way. And he does, in fact, believe when posed that same question that a championship can be won with Ben Simmons. Here he is. There's no denying the defender that Simmons is, the great passer that Simmons is, but we all know what the problem is. This is somebody that has never shot the ball well from the floor or from the free throw line, has never gotten better at it, has never attempted enough to get better at it. Otherwise, it would certainly show. And now, with the moment of truth that came up in that postseason, and Simmons coming up empty, and now upset with the team, there is no choice but for Doc Rivers not to try to get Simmons back, but to restore any sort of trade value that could be there. I guarantee you this. The 76ers do not want Ben Simmons back. I don't think there's any way possible you can bring him back to Philadelphia. And if they're going to say right now that they can, they are doing it to try to create some sort of market that, if it exists right now, is exceptionally limited. There may be 2 to 3 teams that are interested. Maybe Portland wants to try to put something together with CJ McCollum, as Stephen A. Smith suggested earlier today on First Take. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. If you're Dame Lillard, does Ben Simmons strike you as the guy that you want to play with in Portland? I'm not sure that he is. In fact, I'm sure that he's not. This is not a guy that you want in your corner when times are toughest. This does not feel like a back alley guy. Simmons actually told the Sixers, my trade value is not my problem. That's your problem. No, you creating this is pushing you further away from getting done what you want, and that's to get out. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. There's an interesting situation playing out in Dallas right now, and it involves Zeke Elliott. If you've watched Zeke Elliott the last couple of years, you know he is nowhere near the player that he was. Now, why is that? Is it because of usage that he has completely fallen off the table because they have beat him up so much in his career and used him entirely too much? It would suggest that it would be a little bit early for that, wouldn't it? When you look at Zeke Elliott's career, can we be talking about that already? I think that's probably hard to say, that his body has already taken too much abuse in his career when he has only been in the league for 5 years. And this is somebody that's 26 years old. He's never been a 370 carry guy in his career. And that's the magic number when it comes to really wearing down as a running back. He's only got 1,400 career carries. That's not enough where that should be happening. So is it losing the weight? Is it the fact that he hasn't been anywhere near the same player since he got the massive contract? What do you want to look at this as? What you can look at it as is somebody really pushing him right now. And that's Tony Pollard. Because Tony Pollard is the best running back in Dallas right now. And if you watch and you look at his production, there is no question about that. Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, of course, on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, was asked about how to balance this when you've got a great running back in Pollard who's doing all the right things, but Zeke has got that massive contract. So you're already suggesting we're doing it strictly based on what's right for the team. But it's got to annoy an owner who wrote that big check and has not gotten any kind of a return so far on the production moving forward, as opposed to the production that he got prior to getting the big contract. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our guy, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and of course of the ACC Network. He joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Tim, it's Chris Carlin. How you doing, bud? Appreciate the time.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, sure thing, man.
Tim, Justin Fields, it was announced today, is getting the start because we find out that Andy Dalton is going to be out this coming week. Do you think that Andy Dalton will start another game this year for the Chicago Bears?
I don't, because I think that you can set up a situation for Fields to play well. And if Fields is playing well, then I don't think it makes any sense to, put Andy Dalton, back in the lineup. And let's say, Chris, that Fields isn't playing really well. I don't think that you want to get into a switch the quarterback multiple times scenario, which would mean, it's Dalton and it's Fields back to Dalton. And then ultimately at some point you're going to want to get back to Fields at some point this season anyway. And that's not the right way to do it. So I do believe that it should be his job the rest of the way.
Tim, what's the effect it can have on the locker room when guys may look at a situation and think that who's playing right now may not be the guy that gives them the best chance to win?
Yeah, look, it's hard. Now, typically what happens when you play a guy who's a young guy and that's not giving you the best chance to win, people generally understand it because they're like, look, this guy's going to be the face of the franchise. That's why they're playing him right now. What is weird and what typically does not happen and what I think is hard for a locker room to digest is when an older guy is playing that is not giving the team the best chance to win. And I think that those are the situations where, the roster then is looking around like, what are we doing? Like if we're going to have a guy making mistakes or not making plays and we have someone else that can, Like, why aren't we going that direction? And those are the things that I think end up being really weird.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us. Zach Wilson in New York had just a brutal debut as in his home stadium the other day. As you took a look at that performance, what do you attribute it to?
I just think that he was really aggressive with the football on stuff that he probably shouldn't have been. I mean, I can think of two of the picks. You know, one's right over the middle with his guys covered. There's a lot of traffic. And then another one, he's been, you know, kind of flushed outside the pocket, the corner sinking. He tries to fit it in there. And look, I think there that one of the things that was appealing about when you watched him play at BYU is that he would make throws that were really aggressive throws, and he'd get away with them because he's super talented. And, you know, the challenge ends up being is when you change your level of competition, you know, the players you're playing against are really talented. And, you know, some of the stuff you get away with in college, you can't get away with. So, look, you know, part of it is just learning from them. Guys are going to make those mistakes. The question is, like, do you see him next week? Do you see him week 12? Or do those, you know, kind of forces, if you will, do those go away?
Tim, it's so early. I know it's only after 2 weeks, but we haven't spent a lot of time talking about Trevor Lawrence. What have you seen from the first two games from Lawrence?
I think the good, Chris, has been really, really good. Like, there's a throw he makes week one where he's on the left hash. There trips to the right, and he throws this go route to the right, and it is a laser down the field. And he kind of got to it late, and you're like, wow, like that's really, really impressive. But then in that same game, I think they had the ball back with like just outside 2 minutes left in the half. They're backed up. They call a pass play. The underneath coverage sinks really, really deep. He's got his back wide open. He should throw it to him. Guy can actually try to make some yards inbounds. They'll get the 2 minute warning. You know, they'll stop the clock and they can decide if they want to get into a 2 minute drive. But instead, he forces an in cut and throws it right to the underneath coverage because it sank so deep that it turns the football over and they give up points right before the half. And like, that's just not winning football. So, you know, the good's been really good. And then the bad has been, you know, not winning football, which is, you know, which is tough to swallow. So I think it's a matter of kind of, you know, much like it is for Zach Wilson, learning from that stuff, being more aware situationally of the situation, you know, of the kind of state of the game and how aggressive or conservative you should be with the football.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and of course of the ACC Network, joining us on ESPN Radio. Chris Carlin with you. All right, the Aaron Rodgers scenario and drama that continues to play out. Tim, what do you make of all of this?
You know, there's part of me that's like, man, I can't believe that he's so sensitive about what people are saying. Like, why even pay attention? Like, there's part of me that thinks that. And then there's another part of me, Chris, and you know, you've been in the business a long time, as have I. And, you know, I never think it's a good idea for people to say something about somebody's work ethic unless they truly know, or somebody's state of mind, or what they are prioritizing in their life if they don't really know. And most of the times, people don't really know what, you know, is going through, whether it's in Aaron Rodgers' world or somebody else's. So there's part of it for me where I'm like, good for you firing back, right? Like, that is junk for someone to kind of claim they know what your priorities are, and if they don't even know you. So there's part of that for me too. But I think, like, if I really just like boil down to, like, look, what I feel like, you know, my job is to do is to look at teams and players and kind of, you know, analyze, you know, their prospects that season, and are they going to be good, and things like that. Unfortunately, I just don't think any of this stuff helps the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, and I think ultimately, if we just kind of boil it down to that, then everybody's just better off moving on. Whether it's Aaron's deal with the team or whether it's Aaron's deal with the media, best thing is just put your head down and focus on football.
All right, Tim, I'm going to throw a couple of the 2-0 teams at you. And a few of the 0-2 teams at you. And you tell me if what we're seeing right now is real or maybe a bit of a mirage, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start with the Raiders, Tim. Is this 2-0 for real?
I think it's real in that they've got a good defense and the quarterback can play well. And so I've seen Derek Carr make some good plays. So far, I'm going to say that that's real. I think it can continue.
The Broncos at 2-0.
I think that's a mirage. Look, they're good. They're already banged up. I think Teddy's a good player, but I think he is what he is. And look, if the Raiders are going to be good and Kansas City's good and the Chargers are good, yeah, I don't think it's for the long haul.
The Cardinals.
I think they're for real. I think Kyler Murray is nearly impossible to contain. I think he's one of the most dangerous players in all of football. You know, we've never seen a quarterback with that speed be that good of a passer. Vic had that speed. Lamar Jackson has that speed. But they're not the same caliber of passer that Kyler Murray is. And I think they're for real.
And lastly, the 2-0 teams, the Panthers.
Yeah. This is the hardest one. That's probably why you saved it for last, Chris. It's the hardest one because Sam Darnold's good's been really good. His bad's been really bad. But why did we see so much bad? Was it the situation with the Jets? Is it better now? So, like, that's the hard part for me. I will say this. I think that it's real from the – if I need to put a qualifier on it. If McCaffrey is getting 22 touches a game. So, you know, if McCaffrey's getting 22 touches, they're not all carries. Maybe five of them are receptions. And if that's happening, I think that Sam Darnold's playing good football at that point. So, you know, that I put the qualifier in there. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I think that's the situation in Carolina.
All right, I'm going to quickly give you two 0-2 teams. Tell me if they're in big trouble here. Are the Vikings in big trouble?
I think they're in big trouble. And I like a lot about their football team, but I do. I think they're in big trouble because the noise around the quarterback and even the head coach, for that matter, I think is going to be really loud.
The Colts, Tim.
Yeah, I think they're in big trouble. I mean, their starting quarterback's got two bad ankles right now. He's got a long injury history, and they're already 0-2. They play Tennessee this weekend. They could be 0-3. So I think they're in real trouble. And in fact, you look further than that, I think 1-4, 0-5 are real possibilities for the Colts.
Oof. Tim, thanks again. Awesome stuff. Appreciate it as usual. We'll talk soon.
See you, Chris.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, ACC Network as well. He always tells you, man, he comes at it straight and he comes at it with facts. He's as good as it gets. He joined us on the Goodyear Hotline with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. One quarterback we did not get into with Tim, Big Ben. Is this the beginning of the end? That in moments. First, though, does the thought of selling your motorcycle, ATV, or vehicle already make you exhausted? There's no need to keep putting it off because RumbleOn.com makes selling easy. You'll have a cash offer in minutes and a free pickup. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, trade in or sell. RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO to get a $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash. Is Big Ben done? Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Big Ben's toast, let's face it. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. Chris Carlin with you on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And in case you missed the news, Ben Roethlisberger dealing with an injury to his pectoral muscle. Here is Mike Tomlin, the Steelers head coach, on the situation. When you watch Roethlisberger so far this year, it's so clear that they made the wrong decision. They allowed him to continue to play this season, and the Steelers needed to move on. It's an unfortunate situation that it's gotten to this, but frankly, Roethlisberger is the one to blame because he has continued to push this to try to keep playing. He has had a terrific career, but it's been clear, even with their start last season, that later in the year he faded out and he was bad at times. And in the first two games of the year, when he's been healthy, he has been average at best. That's where he's going to top out right now when he's healthy. And here's the other problem. He will add drama to it. He will add drama to it. You know, has already said, I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure that I can play this week. Good for you. Ride in on the white horse. The problem is, you don't have the bullets in your gun anymore, Ben. There's not enough left for him to be a really good quarterback and a winning quarterback in the league. And while he may have taken a pay cut, the Steelers should have bit the bullet and moved on. And I'm not the only one who thinks this way. The undefeated's Dominique Foxworth tends to agree. It's not a big enough answer to try to salvage that situation because Ben Roethlisberger needs to be the kind of player that he was 3 and 4 and 5 years ago for the Steelers to win. If he can't move, if he's a statue as he is right now, you don't have a chance. Think about that. A quarterback rating of 38 in the pocket, not under pressure. Add to it being under pressure, getting hit, and not getting out of tackles nearly as much as you used to be able to do much earlier in your career. You have to recognize when time's up and the Steelers hung on for entirely too long. It's like we talked about so much when it comes to Aaron Rodgers being upset about the Packers getting rid of players that he didn't feel like they should have gotten rid of yet. In the NFL, if you're a year ahead of when a player is finished, you are doing the right thing. If you let it play out, you are completely messing up your future. And that's what Pittsburgh has done here, and it's completely going to derail their season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio. That's the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Andre in Massachusetts has been very patient. Up next, Andre, what do you got?
What's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, Ben Simmons wants to draw a hard line in the sand with the Philadelphia 76ers, and Doc right now wants to kind of mend fences. My view is Ben Simmons can sit out for the entire season if this is the attitude he wants to have, based on the fact that he's never been clutch. He's never been there in prime time. This is a guy that's averaging, what, 14.7 rebounds, 7 assists, about, you know, he's a good all-around player, but when it matters most, it's not just that he doesn't have the offensive capability. He doesn't have the eye of the tiger like the Trae Youngs of the league, like the Donovan Mitchells in the league. Whenever there's a high leverage situation, Ben Simmons is never present, and that's the way he deals with adversity. So if he wants to draw this line, and I'm the Sixers, I'm not. He can. You can sit out the rest of the year. Obviously, the rest of the league knows that they're in this type of situation.
Well, here's the only problem with the idea, though, Andre, and thanks for the call. If you want to do that, you have to be prepared to answer questions about it all season. And you have to be prepared for Simmons to rattle cages and continue to make it an issue until he gets what he wants, because he will absolutely do that. And so if you're the Sixers and you're Joel Embiid and you're Doc Rivers – and you're Daryl Morey, and you're ready to deal with that, okay. But just understand what lies ahead, because that will be hanging over your head all season long, and at some point you're just going to have to cut bait. Ross in Washington, up next on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Ross, what's going on?
Thanks for the call. I'm a huge Cowboys fan. I think Dak has proved that he is back from that ankle injury that he had last year, and I think he's on a mission. I think we started out with two tough road games this year, and I think we proved, you know, almost beating out Tampa Bay and playing well on the road in LA, and I'm just excited. I think we're going to smash the Eagles this week, big double digits at least.
I think Dak's been fantastic. Dak is absolutely back from injury. There is I think very little debate about that right now. And thanks for the call. You have to feel good about where he is. And I know people are feeling really good about where the Cowboys are right now. I get it. You're 1-1. You should be 2-0, but you're not. And you've got the Eagles, you've got Carolina, you've got the Giants at home in the next 3 weeks. There is no reason for the Cowboys to not be 4-1. If they're 3-2, even losing to Carolina, that's not good. And it speaks more to the larger issue that the Cowboys will face. When they get into some of these situations with games that might be tight, but they should win, they're not able to get over the hump. Talk to me after week 5. If the Cowboys are 4-1, you're on schedule. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Can Doc Rivers actually salvage the trade value for Ben Simmons? We continue to discuss in moments. If there's a game, you know that someone is betting on it. Stream season 2 of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming only at ESPN+. Do the Sixers have any recourse at this point? We'll tell you why they don't. Next, Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
This is ESPN Radio.
Doc Rivers, the Sixers coach this morning on KJ and Max, also appeared on First Take. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. It's not that surprising that the Sixers are dealing with this with Ben Simmons, but this is not the typical offseason frustration that Doc's talking about there when a team doesn't win and somebody decides they want to be traded. This has been really brought to a fever pitch because of Simmons' performance in Game 7 in the postseason, when it is just so brutally apparent that you are not willing to improve your own weaknesses to get better because you're afraid of looking bad, which is exactly what goes on with Simmons. It's just brutal to suggest that you could go back to somewhere. And especially when it's a town like Philadelphia, when you were afraid to dunk the basketball for fear of getting fouled from behind and actually have to go to the free throw line where you're a 60% shooter at best. I mean, it's just not winning basketball when you're a point guard and that's the case and you've got $147 million left on that max contract. The Sixers have to do everything they can not to bring you back, but to restore any sort of trade value, because nobody will ever deny the incredible talent that Ben Simmons has. But nobody will also ever deny that when you watch a player like that shrivel up and give the ball up when you have a wide open dunk, you can't bring him back. And now he's blaming everybody else but himself. Download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select card, the card built for your next adventure. 888-SAY-ESPN. Is Ben Simmons capable of being a championship point guard? Kyle in Pennsylvania is up next, wants to talk some Steelers football. Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, I heard you say before about how Pittsburgh was washed with Ben Roethlisberger there, but I was just wondering how you felt about Dwayne Haskins and if you think that he might be the future.
All right, we're going to pretend that you're asking that question. Is that what we're doing? Did I just dream this, or are you actually asking it?
No, I'm actually asking this.
Okay, that's a mistake on your part. Thanks for the call. There's really no reason to believe in Dwayne Haskins. I was one of the dopes that at draft time 2 years ago felt like Dwayne Haskins was a can't miss. That was me and the Washington football team. That's who it was. Dwayne Haskins is a can't miss. I've never been proven wrong more quickly about something in my entire life. Dwayne Haskins going to Pittsburgh, it was a good situation for him to be a backup. He is not going to step in. First of all, he is not even definitively the backup quarterback. That could be Mason Rudolph, which is another problem. I don't think you can win with him either. But you can't for a minute honestly believe that they are good enough to win games with Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph. They're not good enough to win games with Ben Roethlisberger. That's your biggest problem. Dwayne Haskins? You're asking about Dwayne Haskins. You gotta get outside the bubble of Pittsburgh, my friend. Do they not get the NFL package in Pittsburgh? Did they not have DirecTV? Did you not ever watch a highlight? Well, not a highlight because there weren't many. Did you not ever see Dwayne Haskins on TV in the NFL? I have a lot. You can't win with him. You can't. And you won't. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Look, the Steelers are a team that has enough talent on offense at the playmaking positions and on defense that they should be able to do some things, but they won't because they're dead at quarterback and they're dead on the offensive line. That's the one thing we have not spent enough time talking about. Their offensive line is so bad. So bad. And not that they were going to be in great shape, considering you had Marquise Pouncey retiring. He was not at the top of his game anymore. Not that they were going to be in great shape with Alejandro Villanueva. He would have helped. And now he's banged up for the Ravens. And, boy, David DeCastro, Pittsburgh misses all kinds of players on that offensive line. They're in trouble.